Welcome back. In this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson, we're building one of the most useful tension weapons in old-school jungle and drum and bass, the Hoover Stab. And not just as a sound design exercise. We're going to shape it, resample it, and arrange it so it actually earns its place in a modern DNB track. The key mindset here is simple. Don't treat the Hoover like a lead instrument. Treat it like a mid-range event. It should hit like a punctuation mark. Answer the drums, and push the track forward without stepping on the sub or turning into a melodic distraction. We're going to work in the bass lines area of the track, because that's where this kind of stab really lives in DNB. Even when it's chordal, even when it sounds like a rave weapon, it behaves more like a bass line accent than a full lead. That means rhythm matters just as much as tone. So first, set up a focused sound design lane in Live 12. Create a MIDI track and name it Hoover Stab. Put it near your drums and bass so you can keep checking it in context, not just in solo. Set the tempo somewhere in the DNB zone, around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want more classic jungle energy, lean toward 170. If you want tighter modern pressure, 174 is a good target. Now build your device chain in this order: Wave-eatable, Saturator, Auto Filter, Chorus Ensemble, Drum Bus, and Utility. That chain gives you the raw synth, then the grime, then the control. Keep the gain conservative right from the start. Hoovers can get unruly in the upper mids, so leave yourself headroom. You want aggression, not clipping chaos. Start inside Wave-eatable with a saw-based patch. A basic saw or super saw-style waveform is the right foundation. Bring the unison up to around 6 to 8 voices, and keep the detune moderate. You want that wide, animated density, but not a smeared pad. If the patch gets too pretty, too smooth, too polished, it stops feeling like a Hoover. If you want more bite, add a second oscillator. A saw or square oscillator tuned an octave or a fifth above can add that extra harmonic edge. You're looking for a tearing, inhaling, snarling character. That's the old-school personality. The best Hoovers feel like they're about to break apart, but in a controlled way. Now shape the amp envelope for a stab, not a lead. Attack should be very fast, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay should be short, somewhere around 200 to 500 milliseconds. Sustain should be low, maybe 0 to 20%. Release can stay brief, around 50 to 150 milliseconds. This is crucial. In DNB, a long sustain just gets in the way of the break. The stab needs to hit, speak, and get out. Next, give it movement at the front edge. A lot of the classic Hoover attitude comes from the transient. If your setup allows pitch modulation, add a small pitch envelope, so the note blips upward or downward very briefly at the start. Keep it subtle, maybe a couple of semitones up to around 7 semitones at most, with a very short decay. That little transient wobble can make the sound feel much more aggressive and much more alive. Then move to the filter. A low pass or band pass can both work, depending on how much bite you want. If the arrangement is already dense, band pass can give you that focused, barking mid-range. If you're planning to distort heavily later, a low pass gives you more control. Start with a cutoff somewhere in the 1.2 to 4 kHz range, and bring in moderate resonance. Then add some filter envelope movement so the stab opens on the attack. This part matters a lot in context. A Hoover isn't just about how it sounds soloed, it's about how it hits against the break and bass. If the front edge opens up nicely and the body stays short, it'll lock into the groove instead of smearing over it. For extra movement, you can add a gentle synced LFO to the cutoff, but keep the depth small. We're not trying to wobble the sound around. We just want a little life in the tone, especially if we're going to print it to audio later. Once it's resampled, those tiny motions often become more musical. Now let's bring in the aggression. Add saturator after wave-eatable. This is where the Hoover starts to feel like it belongs in a proper DNB drop. Drive it somewhere around 3 to 8 dB, turn soft clip on, and trim the output so you're not just getting louder for the sake of it. You want harmonics, not uncontrolled harshness. After that, add drum bus if you want more density and impact. A little drive, some crunch, and possibly a touch of transient emphasis can make the stab hit harder. Just be careful with the top end. If it starts getting fizzy, you're probably pushing too far. The goal is a sound that reads on small speakers and still carries weight in a full mix. And here's a useful teacher note. If the stab starts fighting the snare, don't just turn it down. That's usually the lazy fix. Instead, go back and shape the source, or notch a little around the snare crack region later with EQ. You want the Hoover to keep its character. Now control the stereo image. Use utility after your character processing. Keep the low end of the stab monosafe, and only let the width live in the upper mids. If the patch is too wide and unstable, reduce the stereo spread in Wavetable before processing. In DNB, the sub and low bass need to stay centered. The Hoover can be wide, but only above the area where it starts competing with the bass line. If you want a more advanced approach, split the sound into two layers with an audio effect rack. Put a filtered mono low mid layer on one path and a wider, more saturated upper layer on the other. That gives you a huge sound without wrecking the center of the mix. It's one of those moves that sounds small in theory and massive in practice. Once the sound is working, print it to audio. This is a big advanced step, and honestly, it's one of the most important ones in this lesson. Create a new audio track and resample the stab, or route the MIDI track into it. Record several notes, several lengths, and a few different velocities. Why commit to audio? Because in arrangement, the exact waveform matters more than the theoretical patch. Once it's audio, you can reverse it, slice it, pitch it, clip gain it, or warp it without having to rethink the synth patch every time. That's where the speed comes from. Make a few versions right away, a dry hit, a filtered hit, a distorted hit, a longer tail version, and a reverse or pre-hit version. Keep them organized so you can audition them fast. That speed is a huge deal in DNB, because the placement of the stab often matters more than how complicated the sound design is. Now program the stab like a bassline accent, not like a melody. Put it around the drum groove so it answers the rhythm. One classic move is to place it on the offbeat before the snare. Another is to use it after a break fill as a reply. You can also land it on bar 2 or bar 4 as a phrase response, or use a syncopated hit that locks with ghost kick placements. Think in phrases of impact and silence. That's a big jungle lesson. A well-timed gap before the stab can make it feel twice as heavy. If you place it constantly, it loses power. In a darker tune, restraint is often the difference between a powerful arrangement and a crowded one. For 16-bar drop, you might start sparsely in bars 1 to 4, using the stab as a response to the break. In bars 5 to 8, increase the density a little with a repeat pattern. In bars 9 to 12, introduce a higher inversion or pitch-shifted variation. Then in bars 13 to 16, pull it back so the next section feels bigger. That breath and release is what makes the arrangement feel alive. Use automation to evolve the stab over time. Filter cutoff is one of the best moves. Open it slightly into the drop, then close it back down after the first few bars. Resonance can rise on transition bars to build tension. Reverb sends should stay controlled and only appear on selected fills or breakdown hits. Delay throws can work great at the end of phrases. And if you want the build to feel like it's climbing, increase saturator drive subtly in the build section. Keep reverb short and filtered. You do not want the Hoover floating away like a trance pad. Think small room, plate, or a very short space, maybe around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds, with the lows cut out. The Hoover should hit the room, not wash through it. Now glue it to the drums and bass. This is where the part becomes proper DNB instead of just a cool synth sound. Play the Hoover against your break edits and your sub or a re-space. Let the snare own the backbeat. Don't place the stab in a way that smears the snare transient. If you need it, use light sidechain just to create a little breathing room, but don't overpump it. A really useful technique is to check the stab against the full break plus bass from the start. Soloing can hide timing and masking problems. In the full drop, you'll hear immediately whether the placement is right. Often, if the patch sounds huge but the arrangement feels small, the problem is rhythmic placement, not tone. Moving the stab by a 16th can make more difference than another effect. For variation, duplicate the lane and create versioned hits. Make one version dry and punchy. Make one filtered and shorter. Make one octave up accent. Make one reverse tail. Make one heavily distorted one shot for impact. In a strong DNB arrangement, movement every 4, 8, or 16 bars keeps the energy alive without needing a completely new sound. You can also automate section changes in a very musical way. In the intro, keep the stab filtered and hinted at. In the pre-drop, repeat it with rising intensity. In the drop, keep it dry and punchy. In the breakdown, use a reverbed or pitch-shifted ghost version. Then for the switch-up, slam an clipped, distorted variation with a different rhythm. That's a proper arrangement device, not just a synth part. If you want to push it further, try a ghost stab layer. Put a very quiet, heavily filtered version in eighth note before the main hit. That tiny anticipatory move can make the main stab feel much heavier. You can also make a version with alternate voicings, like root, minor second tension, and octave unison, while keeping the rhythm the same. That gives you a call and response effect without changing the core identity. And if you want that old school roughness, Don't be afraid of micro pitch drift. Print several passes with tiny tuning differences, and choose the one that feels unstable in a good way. Hoover stabs often sound better when they're a little unruly. Here's a fast practice challenge to lock this in. Build three versions of the same Hoover stab. Make one dry and punchy, one more distorted, and one filtered with a short reverb throw or reverse tail. Then place them in three rhythmic rolls, a sparse accent, a response to the drums, and a transition hit. Compare how each version interacts with the break, the sub or res, and the snare transient. After that, automate at least two parameters across an 8-bar loop and make sure the stab evolves at least twice. That's the real goal here. By the end, you shouldn't just have a good Hoover sound. You should have an arrangement-ready weapon that supports the groove, creates tension, and gives your track that unmistakable jungle pressure.